because we're going to focus today on the next segment, which is about chevra, about society, and about a social group. But instead of going right to the text, I wanted to frame it and think about it in general with a couple of ha'aris, and then we can think about it inside and analyze what Rav Volbe teaches us. So the topic here is chevra. Chevra, which literally means a social group or a society. And I think that if we take a step back, we realize that the concept of a chevra, of a community and a society, is really essential in Avodas Hashem. It's interesting that the Ribbono Shel Olam did not design the Jewish religion, the Jewish tradition, to focus on squarely on an individual level, right? There is a national goal that the Jewish people have. It's manifest every day in our Shmona Esrei, where we talk about what are the things that are important to us. So first we talk about our individual foci. So we talk about health, we talk about sustenance, we talk about relationships and knowledge. That's on an individual level. And then we talk about bigger aspirational goals for the Jewish people. So we talk about Israel and Yerushalayim and Malchus Beis David. So the idea of a society is clearly an aspiration. And perhaps that's because as a whole, we're much more than the sum of the individual parts. So the whole society of the Jewish people, that reflects a certain Kvod Shamayim. So the idea of establishing a Jewish, ideally spiritual, social entity is one that we are thinking about and we're aspiring to. And it's difficult for us, because we live in Gullus, to appreciate what that means. But certainly on Chanukah, that is a good time to reflect on this value. On a very mundane level, I was talking to somebody yesterday who's part of a big international corporation, and they have a significant office, a big presence in Israel, and they described how in Israel their office is basically dead on Hanukkah, because the people are actually celebrating Hanukkah. And when you go to Israel in the wintertime, one of my kids asked us recently something about how they don't have Thanksgiving in Israel. We're like, no, you don't see any holiday lights. The only holiday lights that you see are Hanukkah lift. Like, it's a that is the expression of a Jewish society. And even if it's not religious, the Rambam says something very striking. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam puts the laws of Chanukah and Purim together. So in the beginning of the third chapter of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam says that there was a very difficult period with the Greeks persecuting the Jewish people in the Seleucid Empire. And then the Rambam says, well, God saved us through the hands of the Chashmonaim. And he has a tiny line there where he says, Chazra Malchus LeYisrael Yesra Almasayim Shana. The sovereignty returned to the Jewish people for more than 200 years. That's what the Rambam describes there. So that line in the Rambam, you know, the Rambam was very economical with words. And we're very careful about understanding what the Rambam is telling us. That is a significant statement. The Rambam thinks that the fact that the Jewish people were sovereign in Israel for more than 200 years is very significant. That's an expression of society. Mind you, if someone were to ask you, what would you say was the spiritual caliber of the Hasmonean period in the second Beis Hamikdash? Would you say it was super spiritual or horribly corrupt? Right? Horribly corrupt. It was terrible. And yet, that very corrupt, secular, religiously misguided government was still important, according to the Rambam. Why? That was disastrous from a spiritual vantage point. The Kahuna Gadola was bought and sold. That's the most valuable religious office, and yet it was so. Apparently, to be able to express the concept of a Jewish society, of a society of Klal Yisrael in the land of Israel, is inherently valuable, even if that's what we would say is the distinction between the Medina and the Memshalah. The Medina is valuable, even if the particular Memshalah is not particularly religious or worth something from a spiritual standpoint, the idea of having a Jewish society is very significant. So when you talk about chevra, of society, so there is an inherent value in creating a Jewish society, which is something that we should be very positively jealous of what's going on in the land of Israel today, where there is the creation of an actual Jewish society. That's ha'ara number one. But I think there's a deeper way of thinking about this, and it relates to social media. I'm going to take a poll, and you have to answer this poll, whether you like it or not. How many people in this room are participating in some form of social media? And Wendy's going to have to tell us what is social media. At least she'll have to tell me. Social media, yes? 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 No? Yes? Yes. So I have to ask myself, you don't read Facebook? Not anymore. You swore off it.
All right.
Tell us the truth.
I dabble.
Just the truth.
I just look. I'm a voyeur.
Ask. We all say that. Well, I didn't look. I was. I didn't. I love. We are on it. Tell me the truth. So I ask myself, why is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam brought us this Facebook, social media, this whole story? What's that? It's
Chevra.
Oh. So we could debate. Many of us, yes, I've spent a lot of time thinking about why I'm not on social media, and there's a lot of place for that. But I suspect, and this is, I don't think Rav Kook in any place wrote about Facebook, because he died in 1935, but he expresses an idea that probably applies to social media, at least in my mind, that trends that develop in the world are not accidental. There are developments that, for example, took place in his time that bespeak a certain spiritual movement. So, for example, he lived in the interbellum period, you know, between World War I and World War II. There was a lot of tumult in the world at that time. He lived through the Bolshevik Revolution, and there was so much upheaval. And he was trying to identify, well, what is the meaning of that? Because it's not just a trend. That world, that global trend, says something about the way that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants the world to develop. The suffrage movement, he lived through the suffrage movement. So that also, these things, you can either say, it's outside, it's saying Yiddish, it's krum, it's bad, it's negative, you should ignore it. Or you should say, well, there's a trend in the world, and that is trying to move forward some spiritual ideal. It may very well be misguided, but there's something at the core that is spiritual about it. That's a theory that Rav Kook seems to present in different ways. And I suspect that that is true for social media, Latov. Now, whether or not it is always manifest in the right way, which, of course, as we know, like every other tool, is often misused and abused, but the idea that social media exists, I wonder if it's not just something that is useful, it is actually, in a certain sense, a harbinger of the Ikvasa de Mashiach, of the fact that we are at the doorstep of Mashiach.
Everyone's going to know in 2 seconds.
That's good. Okay, so that's on the basic level. Exactly.
Boom.
Exactly. So let's talk about it on two planes, how it relates to the concept of Chevra. Yes. We're going to talk about that, what he says next week, but I thought this, because he's talking about it on a more individual level, but I thought it's worthwhile to think about it from more.
He doesn't connect it to Israel?
No, he does not. So we're just adding our own two cents, as we often do. If Rav Volba was here, he may or may not like what we have to offer.
Things are very complicated about.
Yeah, so this is the Reuven Brand musing.
I like the
Reuven Brand. Musings. It's not, this is, I guess, not even between the lines. This is before the lines. So there is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. This is the first level. There are two ways to think, two levels, I think, probably more. There's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the 8th Perek, that talks about the difference between Pizur and kinos. Spreading, sharing.
Okay, to the exact one. Spreading around and gathering.
The Mishnah says, Pizur l'Rishoyim, scattering for the Rishoyim is hano lahen v'hano la'olam. It's good for them, they like that, and it's good for the world, keep them separate. But v'let tzadikim, but for the righteous people, it's ra lahem v'ra la'olam. It's bad for them to be scattered, and it's bad for the world. However, the previous line, all right, that I'll keep the previous line. That has to do with sleeping, oversleeping. We'll leave that for another time. But kinos, gathering together, l'rishoyim, for the wicked, is ra lahem v'ra la'olam. It's bad for them, and it's bad for the world. But v'lat tzadikim, hana lahen v'hana la'olam. It's good for them, and it's good for the world. So what is this Mishnah telling us? The Mishnah is telling us is that when you have the ability to bring people together, so obviously it affects the Rishayim, because it could be misused, but at its core, it is an opportunity for kinos l'tzadikim, and that this tool of social media, or these tools of social media, whatever they are, they enable people to have a kinos, to have a connection that's spans the whole world, the whole globe. The idea of technology collapsing the world in our time is an opportunity that's called kinos. So for tzaddikim, that kind of kinos is remarkable. It's an incredible opportunity. It's tov lahem because it enables, let's say we have, just on a very minor level, we have shiurim on video conference from Rabbeim, whether they're in Reitz, in YU, or they're in Israel, you can connect with people instantaneously. But on a much broader level, you're able to bring people together around Maisim of Tzidkus. So you talk about social media. I mentioned just Caleb Zichron Levracha's Yartzai was this past week. So what would have happened in 300 years ago, in previous generations, we would have to find a guy with a horse and a cart, and we'd have to sit down and write handwritten letters and proclamations that would have to take to every shtetl and tell them about this young man. And by the time it would have been his 10th Yortzeit, by the time everybody got together to learn one time the Siyum of Shas. But when you have a kinos, when you're able to bring people together, so when it's a kinos let tzaddikim, that is an incredible gift. The difference between pizur, between being bifurcated and fractured and all over the place and being together, this is a very significant gift. Right? So this is separate from the idea of the Medina, the idea of a chevra, of a social structure that is Jewish. This is just individuals being able to come together, and that's going to express a spiritual ideal. There is a very interesting Rashi in the end of Zos HaBracha. By the time you get to the bracha of Zvulun, most people are either pooped, they've had it from Simchas Torah, or they had maybe a few too many something at the Kiddush, whatever. Most people are not, at least I'm not experiencing this at Mamash a high level, so you have to look carefully. Vila Zvulun Amar, Zvulun, where did Zvulun live in the land of Israel? He lived on the coast. He lived on the Mediterranean. So it says, Smach Zvulun B'tzeisecha, because he was in the world of commerce. He had ships. V'Yisachar B'Ohalecha, Yisachar was his brother. They were shutfim, they were partners. Yisachar sat and learned, and Zvulun went out to make money. And then it describes how Amim Har Yikro, the nations of the world, they will call to a mountain. Sham Yizbuchu Zivchei Tzedek, Kishef Ayamim Yinak Usfunoi Tmunechol. So somehow Zvulun, as a business person, so he was involved in commercial industry, fishing was at least a primary role that he had, Sfune Tmune Chol, that buried treasures in the sand, that's going to have nations calling to the mountain. So Rashi here says, you know what's going to happen? People, Zvulun is going to create an economic center where people are going to want to come and do business. So everybody's going to come, and they're going to say, they're on the beach, but he's going to say, look, once you're already here, the nations of the world are going to say, we already came, we already took a flight to Tel Aviv, we're already here, we may as well go to Jerusalem. That's where everybody goes, it's tourist. We should all go there. So Rashi says, people will come, they'll do business, they'll be in Tel Aviv, or they'll be in Haifa, wherever they are. We're going to go to Jerusalem, we'll see what the Jewish people are going, what are they going after, what is it all? What are they doing? And what do they see? Vehim roim kol Yisrael ovdim le'eloa echad. They see all Jews worshiping one God. And they say, wow. They see that in our culture, in our pagan culture, everybody worships their own deity. Everybody makes Shabbos for themselves. Nobody comes together. Nobody does anything together. We're not unified. We're not bikinos the same way that these people are. It's incredible. There's no one more worthy than this nation, than the Jewish people. Why? Because they found a way to come together. And even non-Jews who are coming to do business in Israel, they come to Yerushalayim, they see all these people praying at the Kotel, they look at the Kotel. You don't even have to be a great demographic expert to see that you have people who have long payas at the Kotel, you see people with no payas at the Kotel, you see guns, you see strimals, you see all kinds of things. And you can be a totally foreign Japanese tourist. And you can take note of the fact that that's a place where people have a kinus to get together. So chevra, the concept of bringing people together, is a way to create that yichud. And this brings us to the second point. So I wonder if it's not just that the Ribbono Shel Olam introduced to us technology to shrink the world so that we can be able to create a kinus letzadikim, but it's also a reflection of the fact that we're literally on the doorstep of Mashiach. Already over 100 years ago, the Chafetz Chaim told us that we're holding by Mashiach. We're still holding our breath. That hasn't got, at least, I haven't gotten any texts yet this morning about the Mashiach. But if he would be here, we would all know right away. You would post it on Facebook. You would retweet. What's that? We would retweet whatever. You could say Mashiach is coming less than how many characters is it? 140?
No, it's double now.
For tweets? That's a great arichus.
Yeah, last year.
It's amazing. There is an idea that we say in the Rosh Hashanah Shmona Esrei, V'yayasu chula maguda achas lasos v'tzon chablev of shalom. The idea that we want to come together, to be together as one chevra, one bunch, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Gullus, imagine you take a person, and that person were, so to speak, God forbid, they were dismembered. That's what Jewish life in exile, in a certain sense, is. It's a dismembered organism. So you have some Jews who are living over there, and you have some Jews who are living over there, so you have all kinds of people living in different places, but nobody is together. The idea of geula, of being redeemed, is putting the pieces of that body back together. According to the Kabbalistic tradition, in Gullus, in a certain sense, the Jewish people are dead. There is a tiny little spark of our neshama that keeps us alive until we go back to Israel, then we'll be fully alive. But now, we're like the dry bones. You know, the prophet Yechezkel says, I see dry bones. They're coming out of the grave, because for 2,000 years, we've been all over the place. We're scattered. So we have these corners of the earth. There's Gullus all over the place. What's Gullus characterized by? Pizur, being scattered. And what is Geula characterized by? By being together. All the different elements of the body, the arm that was left in Africa, and then the foot that was in Australia, all those come back together to create this integrated chevra, this Jewish society that brings everyone together, not just on the level of Medina, but also on the level of the neshama, on the soul. Because all the sparks now are all dissipated all over the world. That's what the Bala Tanya describes, that really we're one giant neshama, just fragmented in different pieces. You have a piece of a neshama, you have a piece, you have a piece, everybody has a piece. But some of these pieces of neshama, they're so far flung. They're all over the world. So to bring everybody back together. So I wonder if that concept, that development, which of course has many pitfalls, but the concept that now we live in such a small world is really at the footsteps of Mashiach, because it's telling us that we're actually not as far apart as we thought we were. Right? We're even, you know, 50 years ago, the world became small with airline travel. So then that collapsed the world to a certain extent. But it would still take you, you know, 16 hours or 14 hours to fly from the East Coast to Australia or to Perth. It's even longer than 16 hours. It's still far, 17 hours to Johannesburg, something like that. But now, through an online chevra, you could be connected with people in Johannesburg and in Sydney and in Perth and in Korea all at the same time. So the notion that people are coming together, that v'yayasu chulam aguda achas, that is perhaps primed through this new development. And that's really the goal. The goal is that everybody should be together, because that's the ultimate reflection of Hashem. On Friday night, by the Hasidim, those of us who daven Nusach Sfard, so instead of saying Bameh Madlikim, which is a paragraph of Mishnayos, so the tradition is to learn something in the Zohar. And that's referred to as Kegavna. Kegavna is a small passage of the Zohar. It's a Kabbalistic tradition that describes the secret of Shabbos. What is that? Raza de Shabbos, I Shabbos de Is Achadas. That Shabbos is the spirit of oneness. That's why Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. That's why, even more important than the Chanukah candles are the Shabbos candles. Because Persume Nisa, that keeps the light going in the exile. That keeps the light going. Until when? Until we get the Shabbos candles. Because that's the Shabbos, the signal, the expression and the experience of Achdus. So when we talk about Chevra, we talk about the importance of the Jewish society, we talk about it both on the infrastructure level, the importance of a Jewish infrastructure, but we also talk about it on a spiritual level, on an individual level, that it's Kinos Letzadikim, that we have a Chevra of people who are together. It's for those of us who are involved in Maisim of Tzidkus, of learning, of Chesed. That's unbelievable koach. It's Tov Lahem and it's Tov L'Brios. But also, on a global level, on the march toward the Bias HaMashiach, the development of our neshamas, so the idea of a chevra, of Yeyos Echula Maguda Achas, that's another dimension of the importance of creating a chevra, which is perhaps why, you know, just a theory, why the Rebbeinu Shlomo Dafka gave us in our generation the gift of being able to create circles of influence and connection through the various modes of technology. Wish everybody a happy Chanukah. We will next week, one second, next week.